Well, welcome back to This Week in the Association. Kevin Lucco joining me here again. Kevin, we start out with a really tough stretch that the St. Paul Saints are in right now. They are just struggling, losers of 8 of their last 9. It seems that just everything is going wrong at the same time.
Yeah, you know, in doing my prep work for today, I was just kind of, I was almost tempted to say, let's just skip right to Charlie. But no, we're still here. We got to tackle it, good news and the bad news. Yeah, it's started off ominously with them losing 4 games, Sioux Falls at home. They were in every one, but there was just the one inning where the bullpen imploded, and that was the difference. And Sioux Falls' pen got the job done, and they made history as they were the first team to sweep St. Paul in a 4-game series at CHS Field.
Well, it's a bad sign when we want to start with Charlie. That should tell the fans out there about that right off the bat. The team made some roster moves this week to try to make some changes here. Jason Creasy, who's looked good as a starter, and Connor Little, who's had some success out of the bullpen, both released. Caleb Thielbar heads to the DL. The bullpen and the starting rotation seem to be in disarray at this point.
The starting rotation, every series of the Sioux Falls, or every game of the Sioux Falls series, they were in it, but then after that, Friday, Saturday, Sunday didn't go so well. Creasy didn't get through the third inning, even though he had a ton of run support, but you just tell he didn't have it. The highlight of the Fargo series over the weekend was Benji Waite going 8 innings and giving the bullpen a needed rest after a long game on Saturday night.
Well, let's talk about him specifically for a moment. He seems to have been the guy that's really stepped up in the rotation. But boy, somebody else has got to deliver for this group.
Yeah, like we talked about last week, you couldn't have told me at the beginning of the season that Benji Waite was going to be your number 2 guy. We were hoping that Robert Cole returning was going to be a plus, but he didn't get through 5 last Friday against Fargo, and unfortunately, as we're recording this afternoon, he didn't get through 1 against Winnipeg, so you have to wonder if Cole is really healthy. It just seemed like last Friday, every pitch he got left, that he left off, what just got clobbered. So, great guy. I hope he turns it around, but boy, it's not looking good for the locals right now.
The craziest game of the season was Saturday night when the Saints lost a 17-15 decision to Fargo. That was the craziest game I think I've seen maybe ever.
Yeah, I don't remember too many like that. I was there for it, and as I put in my notes, Saturday night fiasco. Just kind of back and forth every game. We were starting to wonder if it was going to be the first game ever where there was no inning that didn't go without a run, but it settled down for a couple innings. The Saints fought back to tie the game at 15 in the 9th inning against Casey Weathers out of the Fargo pen. But then Fargo got 2 runs. It was a couple plays that made the difference. The first play was a grounder to shortstop, and Tony Thomas kind of mishandled the throw at second and wasn't able to turn a double play. So that put runners on first and third. Then the next batter up hit a slow grounder to short. Christopherson made a good throw to first, and, well, let's just say the umpire, Kyle Norton, missed the call. Called the runner safe. Run number 16 scores. Jeff Malm, pitching his first game of the year, was in his 4th inning because really there wasn't an available arm left in the bullpen. He walked the next batter in, and 17-15, there's your ball game. Yeah, and the Saints had a dud on Sunday. Usually it seems like those games, whoever wins, they ride the momentum, and the other team kind of, yeah, it's like a pin in the balloon.
It reminds me of earlier in the season when the Saints had gone down and played a 13 or 14 inning game in Cleburne to start out their big Texas road trip, and that became kind of a catalyst for the team when they were able to win that. And I just thought, this is really a microcosm of how this team is struggling, is that they're just not winning those games like they were earlier in the year.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And, you know, I kind of look around throughout the whole league. A lot of teams are having trouble with their starting pitching, and frankly, I just don't think there's much out there to be found. Last Saturday night, Fargo pitched a rookie for his professional game ever. That's the state they were in, as they had moved Jose Almirante to the bullpen. The kid took his spot in the rotation, but yet Almirante ended up throwing 5 innings in the game. But there's just no starting pitching to be found.
Boy, sure looking that way. The one thing we can say about the Saints that have been positive, the power seems to really be there. You got both Brady Shoemaker and Anthony Gallus, who have 14 home runs. Tony Thomas right behind that. Is this the kind of thing, when we look back on what happened with the team last season, I think both of us would agree that there's a lot of parallels between what we saw in August last year and what we're seeing in July with this team this year. Is this such a bad point that the team just can't get out of this doldrums, or what do they do to make that happen?
Well, I keep thinking of a line that Herb Carneal once had when the Twins were in the middle of a big slump, and he goes, "This reminds me of the story about the man who walked up to the kid and said, 'Smile, things could be worse.' And then the kid smiled and you found out they could be." It's going to get to a point, if things don't get better, where if the pitching doesn't get better, the hitters are going to get a little disinterested. You can't every game have to go into it knowing you're going to have to get 7 or 8 runs to win. But yet there are some nights, too, where the hitters have kind of taken the night off, and I use Wade some start on Sunday, for example, 4-0 loss. The batter's just got nothing going at all day. So they just can't get the pitching and hitting in sync at all, and boy, it's going to get ugly if they can't figure things out.
Well, let's hope that a 3-game series with the Salina Stockade will give the Saints a chance to kind of turn things around this weekend.
Yeah, let's hope they don't go into it just thinking they're going to get 3 wins and then have Salina sneak one in on them.
Well, before we head looking at this week in the association, we're going to welcome back Charlie. Charlie, I know, was pretty excited because last week we learned that he had a new affection out there. So let's find out what's going on with him. Is Charlie available for us, Kevin?
Yeah. Hey, Charlie. Yeah, set the hot dog down. Oh. All right. Good. Hey, Rod, what's going on?
Hey, it's Rob, but how are you doing there, Charlie?
I am doing great today.
Well, what's going on?
You know what today is?
What's today?
Today is National Hot Dog Day.
Oh, that's a huge one.
For me, it is bigger than Christmas. I love hot dogs.
Well, is there a special kind of hot dog you get at this time?
Whatever Kevin gets for me, it's what I eat, because I love my hot dogs.
Wow, I didn't realize today was National Hot Dog Day, so that's pretty big news. Any other news you got for us? How was Saints weekend?
I'm just waiting. Kevin's going to take me up to the ballpark tonight, I think. I haven't heard from him yet, but I assume we're going to the Saints game tonight, and we'll go celebrate up there with more hot dogs.
Well, the Saints are out of town for one more day.
Huh?
Yeah, the Saints are playing in Winnipeg for today, and then they have home series starting tomorrow, I believe it is.
Well, I don't know what kind of boneheaded scheduling that is. If it is National Hot Dog Day, you have a ball game at the ballpark so I can have a hot dog.
Well, Charlie, I'm sorry. It's just that the team's in Winnipeg. Actually, even off tomorrow, it's Friday when they come back.
They probably don't even like hot dogs in Winnipeg. They like the bacon, and they walk around and say "Hey" all the time.
Well, they have a good baseball team up there right now.
Well, I don't care. I want a hot dog at the ballpark, and I want to go see my woman, Gert.
Yeah, well, what's going on with that?
Well, I think she's playing a little hard to get.
Well, what makes you think
I
that?
I saw her at the ballpark on Friday night, and I said, "Hi, Gert." And she looked at me like she didn't even know who I was.
Uh-oh, that's not a good sign, Charlie.
I don't get it. I put on my best Old Spice. I got my new leisure suit. I had my leisure suit on. I was looking fine. I just think she's kind of teasing me a little bit.
It's
going to be all right, Rod.
Well, I hope it works out for you. I know Kevin feels the same way.
Yeah, he's been a little sour lately. The Saints aren't playing too good, in case you haven't heard.
No, we've been talking about that. They've been playing kind of tough lately, but maybe National Hot Dog Day will turn them around.
Well, if that don't do the job, I don't know what will, Rod.
Well, Charlie, it was good having you on again this week.
Thanks, Rod. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Charlie. Well, Charlie seemed in a better spirits.
Yeah, he's a little more tolerable. I don't know how I'm going to break it to him that there's not a ball game tonight.
No, I told him. He was pretty upset about being in Winnipeg.
Is there like a turkey hot dog that would like make him extra sleepy and he could just kind of nod off and
yeah, maybe
have to deal with him?
Tryptophan in there. Maybe that'll do the job for us. So
there we go.
Well, let's continue. Let's continue around the league in the North. We start with the red-hot Winnipeg Gold Ice, who are 8-1 in their last nine. This may be the best team in the American Association right now.
They are having a homestand for the ages, that's for sure. They put double-digit runs up in against Sioux City all three games. They got 2 out of 3 against Kansas City, and yeah, it looks like they're on their way to wrapping up a sweep of the Saints today. And, you know, that's why they took over first place. They're going to go 8-1 on the homestand. And the Saints just had a 6-game homestand and went, 1-5? So,
yeah.
1-6. Yikes.
Yeah, that has really turned this team around. The one thing you have to really like about them is 6 guys hitting over .300 right now. But the guy that's really impressed me for them has been Andrew Sohn. He seems to be the guy that really gets this offense going.
Yeah, Gold Ice fans should be excited about this young man. He's, I'd say he's making the fans forget about Cassio Greider, because Greider was pretty popular up there. And, you know, since it's Winnipeg, you know that Sohn will be with the team the whole year. So, yeah, they definitely got a lot to look forward to.
You were mentioning to me before the show about the fact of how many of their players were performing so well hitting this season.
You can't deny it. I mean, the top 5 hitters on the leaderboard, 4 of them are Gold Eyes, and that kind of explains how you're going to go in there and get some runs scored against you, and none of those top 5 are even Reggie Abercrombie, who still seems to be providing energy to that lineup.
There was a crazy night in St. Paul on Saturday night, crazy game between Winnipeg and Kansas City as well.
Yeah, I was kind of following the Winnipeg game as I was at the St. Paul game, and I felt better about St. Paul's chances of gaining the game on Winnipeg, because they had the lead at one time in extra innings, and then I didn't realize Kansas City was pitching an outfielder. So he gave up 2 runs to tie the game. And then apparently Kansas City just flat out ran out of pitching, and something I have never seen before in a baseball game. Because, well, it's been done, but not in the way they did it. Matt Sergi came into the game. Sergi's been a really good starter for Kansas City. But the thing is, he pitched with his left hand instead of his right arm. And it did not go well. 2 walks, a couple wild pitches. The last wild pitch was in the middle of an intentional walk that caused the winning run to score. Do you recall that? Anything like that ever happened in a game? I don't.
No, no. I know that they've had a Greg Harris pitch for the Red Sox and switched batters. So when a lefty came in, he went to his left arm. But I've never seen a guy who hadn't had some experience, at least in pitching with his other arm, come out there and decide to just throw left-handed, so he was saving his arm for his next start.
Yeah, there's a current guy right now, Pat Venditti, that also is ambidextrous.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Finishing up with Winnipeg, Over the last couple of weeks, I think Edwin Carl has really stepped up his game, making him and McGovern possibly the best 1-2 tandem in the league right now.
Yeah, and talking with Saints manager George Samus, he's always felt that Carl is one of the better pitchers in the league, and the numbers weren't really showing it earlier, but yeah, he's starting to round into form, which is good because other than Carl McGovern, it's been pretty shaky. Mikey O'Brien's ERA is around 5, and Zach Dodson's got a 5.5 ERA. And they also released their starter they had on Saturday night. Zach Newton was released on Sunday morning. And the funny thing about that, I was discussing it with my good friend Craig Kuhlman on Sunday morning. We were wondering how long guys like Newton and Jason Creasy were going to be around. And by the end of the day on Sunday, they both got released. I was joking with them. I said, well, maybe our conversation was bugged.
The way,
but yeah,
it's
exactly what we're talking about. There's just not a lot of starting pitching in the league.
Well, heading on to Fargo-Moorhead, the Redhawks were struggling for quite a while, but have been winners of 4 of their last 5. At the end of last week's show, talking about the upcoming games and how big it was, I thought that the Redhawks had a stretch where they were going to have a big say over what went, was going to go on in this division, and then they take 4 out of 5. It just seems that consistency is not something they're able to get going right now.
No, not really. They're playing well. And you can't ever count them out. It's they definitely got some talent, and team talent has been underperforming a bit, but yeah, I saw him put up some big numbers and over the weekend. So they got some games coming up against Winnipeg, so if there's a time for them to have a say in the race, it's going to be them then.
One guy that isn't really struggling is Chris Grayson, who just continues to cream the ball.
That's been Sibnick's biggest acquisition, was picking up Grayson from the Atlantic League. I forget what team he was acquired from, but he's done nothing but produce since he's been with the Redhawks, and Devin Ahart has also been a nice pickup for them coming up from Cleburne, I believe. So, yeah, he's swung and missed on a couple of acquisitions, but yeah, the ones Grayson and Ahart have been proven to be pretty valuable in the top of the lineup for them.
A guy who really seems to be warming up as the season is warming up itself is Tyler Alexander, who's looking just like what we've expected out of him the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, he pitched well on Friday, probably not as well as he wanted to. The numbers didn't really show it, but he's a guy that Simnick knows he can put him out there every 5 days and he's going to get 7-8 innings out of him. And, you know, just don't seem to be fair to him. He's not getting the wins. And, well, like anyone that listens to the show consistently knows what I think about wins, but still, he deserves to have more than one win this season.
Boy, that's the truth. Heading on to Sioux Falls, they sweep the Saints last week in St. Paul. That was a huge, huge series for them, I would think.
Oh, definitely. That's gotten right back in the thick of the division race. And I mean, nobody saw that coming on. I can remember doing shows at the beginning of the year, and we just said, there's no way that Sioux Falls can contend. And then they got off to the bad start, and I think we just kept consistently doubting them. But Mike Meyer has kind of rallied the troops and got them playing some good baseball.
Two guys that have really stepped up for their team, Chris Jacobs and Jabari Henry, continue to play well, continue to hit at a high average. A guy who's kind of living in the shadow of those two is Ty Morrison right now, but he seems to be a guy that when they have innings where they score runs, especially big innings, he's the guy that set that up.
Yeah, he's been a valuable cog in the middle of that lineup, and we can't forget about Burt Reynolds. Even though the power numbers aren't what we remember from last year, he's been getting on base, he's been stealing bases, he's making things going in the middle of the order too. So it's not a bad lineup they got going, and other guys are hitting well. Blake Schmidt, Dan Modell, Trey Vavra, after kind of getting some at bats in and getting warmed up again, has been producing. So don't sit on the Canaries. Well, literally, don't sit on Canaries because you'd kill them. But don't sit on the Sioux Falls Canaries.
Miles Nordgren had a big week from pitching for them last week.
I was really surprised he did not get pitcher of the week. He gave up one run in six innings against St. Paul in a no decision, and then shut down Wichita for eight innings and got a win. They went with Will Solomon from Fargo, who pitched eight innings against Kansas City. I just kind of thought, well, the guy that pitched two games only gave up one run, probably should have got the nod, but he'll get a nod from us. So, way to go, Miles.
Yeah, he totally dominated Wichita, so I was kind of surprised that he didn't get a little more consideration than where he was at as well. The one guy who we saw was human last week was Dylan Thompson, gets hit by Wichita a little bit, but Jose Ortega continues to deliver for their team right now, 10 saves, 25 strikeouts, and 22.2 innings pitched. I think this 1-2 combination is really enabling Fargo to become quite a solid bullpen on the back end.
I don't remember Ortega being in the majors, but I've been told he was a major league pitcher at one time, and I saw him pitch last week in St. Paul, and he was popping the radar gun up there around 96, 97, so definitely not a fluke, and you can tell the blueprint up there is get your starter through five or six, turn it over to Thompson, or they got a couple other guys that can fill in too, but ideally go to Thompson for two, and then Ortega to close it in.
Well, let's head on to the Crazy Central, where I think every week we're talking about a new team leading this division. Last week it was the Kansas City T-Bones that were in front, but the Lincoln Salt Dogs get on a hot roll, going 9-1, winners of their last eight. Are they the team that we could look at and say, this is a team that can win 16 out of 20 or 20 out of 25?
Yeah, they're the flavor of the week, and who knows, they could have become, I guess, the flavor of the season. They must be playing a good team game because the thing I notice with them, if you look through the statistics, there's no hitters among the league leaders. They got a couple pitchers in that are standing out with Derek Gordon and Cecilio Pimentel. And they got the top ERA in the league, so Bobby Brown's getting it done with a lot of pitching and, I guess, some opportunistic offense.
One guy who is really hitting, Kurt Smith, with an 11-game hitting streak, which sort of coincides with that winning streak that the team is on right now. He just continues to find ways to hit.
He got off to a slow start this year, but he's one of those guys you just always can count on. I believe he's now second in the team for all-time homers as a Salt Dog, so... But yeah, it's good to have a veteran that can kind of get on a hot streak and hopefully rally some guys around them. And, well, yeah, if you have lineup hitting good around that good pitching, that's going to be a good recipe for success in the Central.
You mentioned about Cecilio Pimentel. Comes in here, I think made six appearances so far for Lincoln and is 1-0 and has not given up a run. They've used him almost exclusively out of the bullpen where he was a starter in Fargo, but he has given Lincoln one start since arriving. I find that his flexibility allows Lincoln to do lots of things because they could use him in a setup role, in a middle innings role, or even give him a start if they really needed a big game.
Yeah, it must be nice to have an embarrassment of riches like that. That's something I think almost any other team in the league would love to have right now.
Well, let's move on to the Gary South Shore Railcats. The Salt Dogs are not the only teams in this division that's surging right now. The Railcats are winners of four and winners of seven of their last three. Right now, the top wildcard team.
Yeah, who saw that coming on? I mean, every week it seems like we always have our brag about Greg Taggart's section, and, well, I guess he kind of earns it. Can't argue they're top of the wild card. They've only got one player on any kind of leaderboard, and that's Charlie Rosario, with leads the league with 89.2 innings.
Which is a remarkable number halfway through the season, I'd honestly say. So, we live in the day.
Yeah, if you think about it, a major league guy, if he's on a pace for 170 innings, and there's guys in the big leagues that they shut down if they throw that many.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just crazy how much that guy can deliver as a pitcher. When we talked about Anthony Cecchi Jr. being released by the team, there was a lot of talk about what this team was going to get now for somebody to really step up and hit. And boy, this Colin Willis has really become an absolute stud for the team. Seven home runs in 48 games, which is like a 100-game season for most guys hitting home runs to Gary. So, is he the exception in the fact that he just is a power guy that they can count on for home runs?
Well, he appears to be right now, so yeah, ride him as long as he can. It just seems like that they always find ways to produce runs, and yeah, if you got a guy that can pop one out of the park every once so often, that's just a bonus.
We talked about the combination of Ortega and Thompson and how they've been huge for Fargo, but this Drayson Johnson and Jorge DeLeon combination, six saves each and 8-4 record combined between the two, and both with ERAs about two. The bullpens around this league are really impressive. This is one that I'm really liking as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about it earlier this week. It almost seems like some teams in the league ought to just go to like a 10-man bullpen and just everyone throw an inning or two the every game, because their starters aren't really getting deep in the games. But I guess it seems like we're seeing a lot of good bullpen work, and Gary is one of those teams.
As the Lincoln Salt Dogs have risen, the Kansas City T-Bones find themselves struggling, now 3.5 games out in the Central, third place in the division. They're in the midst of the toughest part of their schedule right now, and still have Lincoln for three more games, and then Winnipeg. Is there reason to be concerned that if they don't come out of here with 4 or 5 wins, that they may be done?
I think if they at least kind of go 3-3 in that stretch, it'll be all right. They're all going to be at Community America Ballpark, where the team does seem to play well. And they're coming off a road trip going 3-3 combined at like Fargo and Winnipeg, so that's not bad ball there. But yes, they definitely need to make hay right now. They are only one back in the wild card, so keep that in mind.
I think the biggest concern Kansas City has to have right now is beyond Scott Carroll and Matt Sergei, their starting rotation is really in trouble.
Yeah, it kind of seems to be the theme of the week, doesn't
Yes, it does, for sure. Absolutely. Well, let's head on to Sioux City. We first of all want to congratulate manager Steve Montgomery, who won his 200th game about 10 days ago. So, congratulations there, Mongo.
To pump your guys' tires a little bit, I did listen to his show that you and him do every week, and for a guy named Mongo, I was thinking it was going to be a deep baritone voice and was really not a lot to say, but I was surprised. He was very candid, had some very good answers, some very good thoughts, and it was really an entertaining listen.
Yeah, he isn't Mongo from Blazing Saddles or anything there. So, oh boy, they had a tough trip heading to Winnipeg, lose 2 out of 3 against Texas, and then lose yesterday against Salina. While clearly they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination, you got to believe that the injuries are really taking their toll, and you wonder how long it can be that this team can hang on.
Yeah, they're really banged up at this point, and the pitching's kind of taken a beating. There was one game in Winnipeg where Kramer Snead, I believe the line for him was like 12 runs in 5 2/3, that they just kept him out there to try to save the pen a bit. They're going to be amongst many teams that are going to be looking for reinforcements. I'm sure Montgomery will be working the phones during the little bit of an all-star break he'll get, and the team needs to find a hot streak at some point to try to get back to either the wild card chase or the Central Division chase.
Two guys that I'm really liking on Sioux City right now are their catching duo of Tyler Ogle and Dylan Kelly. Both are playing really well, both hitting really well. You don't really find too many teams around the league that have two catchers that are hitting at or around 300.
No, you don't. Usually it seems like the catcher spot is you got one good catcher, then you got one that's a rookie that's just filling one of the rookie spots up. But that's kind of one embarrassment of riches that they have there.
Heading to the south, the Wichita Wingnuts win 2 out of 3 against Sioux Falls, or Sioux, yeah, Sioux Falls, excuse me, which was huge because the Canaries came in on a hot win streak there. However, they now start their 18-game road trip as part of the NBC tournament being in Wichita. I can't imagine how difficult a trip that must be to be out for 3 weeks like that. What does Wichita need to do in terms of victories, do you think? How many of those games do they need to win to keep their momentum going?
To segue a little bit to the NBC tournament, I was there were some young journalists up in St. Paul. Well, they're actually based in Minneapolis, but they were in town for a journalism workshop, and I showed them the roster of the Major League Alumni Club that's going to be in that tournament, and they were just amazed at the star power involved in it. But yeah, to get back to the Wingnuts, they got the huge lead in the division, so even if you have a 500 road trip there, it's not going to hurt them at all. I think right now what they should be focusing on is making sure they get the top overall record in the league and get the home advantage through the playoffs.
Yeah, I want to say I'll be getting to meet Roy Halladay here pretty soon, so I'm pretty thrilled about that. So,
oh, nice.
A big thing that they have to be happy about is that Tim Brown returns from Europe to rejoin the Wingnuts and gives up one run in six innings. Boy, his return sure looked like it was exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, I was in the press box in St. Paul the other night, and I mentioned to Sean Aronson that Tim Brown was coming back to Wichita, and he just kind of like his shoulders dropped, like, really? Another guy coming back. So, yeah, he's got plenty of experience in the league, and yes, that's definitely a huge pickup for them.
While he's been struggling a little bit recently, Matt Chavez with 65 RBI in 56 games. The league record is 103, so I got to believe that record is in serious jeopardy.
Does he have an agent? Because if he doesn't, I wouldn't mind taking a stab at it.
He needs to be an affiliate of all. I don't really get it, but it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Well, let's talk about a couple of other guys on the wing that's having some real success right now. Richard Prigitano hitting in the number 8 spot a lot of nights in this lineup at 330, and Brent Cleveland having a 48 RBIs and a little over 50 games this season. Boy, this is just the most difficult lineup in the American Association right now to face.
Yeah, it's almost like you got two different meat of the orders. And, yeah, pitcher can't really take an inning off, so... Nice problem to have, I guess, huh?
Yes, it is. Another nice problem to have is Alex Boshears with 8 victories this season, one behind Mark Hamburger's league-leading 9. A lot of people aren't talking about him because he's not having the ERA that he had last year, but he's just winning ball games.
Yeah, you know, that's maybe the one part about wins that should be, so you give the win category a little more legitimacy is staying out there batting when maybe you don't have your best stuff, or maybe you had a bad inning, but then you stick with it. You don't have a great line to finish the day with, but in the end, you've given your team a chance to win, and I'm guessing that's probably what Bolshers has done for them. So, yeah, 8 wins. You got them for a reason, so we'll see how he does to the rest of the season here.
Just his third season of professional baseball, too, so pretty impressive start to his career. Looking at the Cleburne Railroads, they've lost 5 straight and are 2-8 in their last 10, swept by Lincoln last week. At this point, you know, this is a team that was just 3 out, I think, 2.5 weeks ago and had a real shot of that wild card, but are they done at this point?
I believe they are. They're... When I was looking last night, I believe they're like 6th in the wild card right now, and they're 8.5 games out of the wild card, 13.5 out of the division. They haven't had a very pretty road trip. They got swept in Lincoln in 4 games. They bounced back with a win last night, but I just don't see enough offensive firepower on this team to get any kind of a sustainable winning streak going.
At where they're at right now, we got to start believing that Patrick Mincy and Winston Abreu are going to be on the trading block pretty soon.
Yeah, you know, my speculation would be they might want to make sure they have their passports ready. I got a feeling that maybe if Joplin relocated to Cleaver, maybe we'll see that pipeline get reestablished between the Railroaders this time and the Gold Eyes.
Winston Abreu already made one trip that way last year, so maybe he's got himself headed that direction this season as well. Heading on to the Texas Air Hogs, just red hot at this particular time. I know a lot of people were looking at the signing of Billy Martin Jr. as the team's manager with kind of a look of surprise when he was chosen before the season began, but boy, he is doing a fantastic job with that team.
Yes, I believe we alluded to him a bit last week too, talking about how he's adapted to managing, I guess, or he's got some good folks talking to him, but yeah, the beat goes on with him. He They took two out of three over the weekend in Sioux City, and they beat Wichita to start their weekday series last night. They too far out of it to really make a move, but they say, you know, they can play the role of spoiler, and sometimes that can be pretty fun.
Hopefully we still get to see Billy Martin Jr. kick dirt sometime this season. I'm really looking forward to that.
You bet him. Is that in his demeanor? Or
No. He's a really quiet guy, to be honest with you. But he did tell me he was still working out his managerial style. So we'll hope that Fiery comes in its way at some point there. Two guys I'm really liking in their starting rotation, T.J. Bozeman, Michael Freeman, both pitching extremely well. I'm wondering how long they wind up with a team. Do they trade these guys, or do they try to ride out with them to start building for next year?
Well, there's that elephant in the room right now as to whether Texas will be here next year. But right now, I've talked to other people. That just kind of seems to be rumor right now. So I guess for the sake of not knowing any truth, I'll be back. But yes, there's two schools of thought there. Do you trade them and get some assets to build next year, or do you stay competitive this year and have them be part of the core for next season? So that'll be up to Billy Jr. to figure out.
One of the biggest surprise moves I've seen this season is when Cassio Grider was traded from Winnipeg, where he was really struggling at the time, to go to Texas. Winnipeg was in the thick of things, and he just won a championship with them. Texas was, I think, just gotten off of their 14-game losing streak at that point. But he's played really well for them.
Yes, I believe he got released from Winnipeg, and Texas jumped on him. But, yeah, same effect. But, yeah, I believe, you know, a new look for him, a new ball club, a new lease on life, so to speak. And he's not putting up huge numbers, but he's providing a good veteran presence down there, and maybe that's contributed to the hot streaks. So good on Cassio.
Last night, the Salinas Stockade won their seventh game of the season. Team is still out there battling.
Yeah, I give them credit. At this point in the season, I got to imagine they start getting burned out a little bit. Now, my question would be, what happens during the two-day All-Star break? Where do they go? They really don't have a home. Do they stay in St. Paul for a couple extra days? Do they go to their next place? And do they hang out in rest stops? I don't know.
That's an interesting question. I hadn't really thought about that. Have to try to find that out, what the team's going to be doing with themselves during that stretch.
Yeah, you know, maybe they go on an amusement park tour throughout the Midwest. There's plenty of them around. And maybe a little fishing trip. Who knows?
Well, that would be really interesting to find out. Well, we've been around the league right now, so let's talk about what to expect this week.
Well, it looks like St. Paul's got, I can't believe I'm going to say this, three must-win games against Salina coming up in St. Paul. And the series I'm kind of eyeing up is Red Hot Winnipeg. We'll see if they can bring that with them on the road as they go down and play Kansas City for three more games.
I think along the same lines for Kansas City, Wichita heads to Lincoln this weekend, and I'm believing that Kansas City's got to come away with at least two, and hoping that Wichita can potentially sweep that series with Lincoln so that they can get themselves back in that division race.
Yeah, you know, it sounds kind of awkward to say it, but Wichita can be a spoiler right now, too. I mean, it sounds weird with them being, like, the best team in the league record-wise, but yes, they could be the spoiler as far as, you know, who's going to win the Central, who's going to win the wild card. So it'll be interesting. It should be a good matchup down in Lincoln.
We also get the All-Star game Monday and Tuesday night.
Yeah, we heard yesterday Mark Hamburger gets the ball for the North team. He deserves it, but I was a little surprised that Rick Forney didn't go with his own guy with Kevin McGovern, which I wouldn't have had any problem with that choice either. So good to see Hamburger's going to get the start for the second year in a row.
Well, before we head out from this week in the association, Kevin, what's going on with your blog this week?
Well, I did have a wrap-up of last week's games. That came out a couple days ago, and I also came out with a wrap-up of the 2005 same season as part of my 25 years of Saints baseball. 2005 was their last year in the Northern League. I'll be working on the 2006 wrap-up pretty soon here, and that's going to be interesting as that was their first season in the American Association a year, which we saw a lot of change in the independent baseball landscape. So be looking out for that.
I'm a little bit behind myself on Minor League Sports Report, but my Billy Martin Jr. article will be coming out today. Plus, we'll have articles coming out over the next week about Kevin Keyes in Kansas City, who will be on the All-Star team, as well as from the Wichita Wingnuts, we'll be looking at both Zach Fisher and Ryan Kuschmal in the upcoming week, and probably somebody else during that stretch there. Tell us about Twitter. What have we got going on Twitter there, Kevin?
Well, we have, like I said, always find us at, our handle is at TWITA Baseball. We had a interesting scenario last week. I believe it was Patrick Mincy's wife was on there, and she made a comment to Cleburne about the manager getting thrown out of the game, and maybe he should come back in a mascot costume. And I added, well, that's happened before, and I was able to track down video from 1996 of when both the Saints manager Marty Scott and Fargo manager Doug Simonick were thrown out of the game, but then came back on the field in sumo costumes. So folks were kind of entertained on Twitter with that one.
See, Kevin's got good information out there. You guys should listen up. We'd like to encourage Patrick Mincy's wife to come on the show at some point, too. So if you're out there and you'd like to join us for a show some week, we'd love to have you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. More people, the better.
Excellent. Well, Kevin, thanks for joining me this week. And everybody, we'll talk to you next Wednesday after the All-Star game. So thanks for joining us on This Week in the Association.